just how good are these speech recognition packages these days, and how easily can they be used by a blind person? Well, first we'll talk about that, and then we'll demonstrate it. We're joined by Brian Hartchin, who's no stranger to Main Menu listeners. Brian is about to release a tutorial on using Dragons Naturally Speaking with the Jawbone Interface System. And we're also joined by Terry Clasper of TNT Consultancy in the United Kingdom, who are the distributors of the Jawbone Interface System in that part of the world. Brian and Terry, welcome to the program. Can I start with you, Terry, and talk about the whole area of dictation? Is it something that a blind person would really find advantageous? Because a lot of blind people, particularly who've been blind all their lives, are actually very good touch typists.
I think yes, and thank you for having me on the program. I think that visually impaired people often are very accomplished touch typists, but the other thing that's I think indisputably the case is that as visually impaired people, we're quite good, I think, at using our voices to be creative in a way which perhaps sighted people traditionally don't do. So, for example, people at university may, for example, dictate essays into tape recorders. So I think the art of creation via the voice is an art which comes more naturally to visually impaired people. Thus, if you take that one stage further and say, okay, if we can create text into a tape recorder, then surely that means that we can also create text just as effectively and efficiently, at least from a creativity perspective, using our voice to the computer. So that was, in fact, for me, Jonathan, the whole starting point of this. It was to say, hang on a minute, we're sitting here thumping keyboards, but A, there are people out there who, from a purely productivity perspective, would probably quite like to do it a different way. There are also people who, frankly, have no choice. There are people who are visually impaired but also have additional physical disabilities, which, up until the advent of this technology, have precluded them and prevented them from taking advantage of information which more and more us as physically able, visually impaired people are beginning to take for granted. So it was those two reasons that I, as a visually impaired person myself, became interested in the overall usability and effectiveness of voice input for somebody who has a vision difficulty.
Can I just extend that a little bit, please? Because not everyone has good QWERTY keyboarding skills. It actually does take, particularly for visually impaired people, quite a lot of practice and regular tuition in order to develop very proficient keyboarding skills. And not everyone has those at their disposal. And that's why it's particularly exciting that this kind of technology is now available to us.
Now, there are some unique challenges, I suppose, with this for a blind person, because once it's all trained, for a sighted person, you just yabber away and you can look at the screen and see that what you think you said is what the computer also thinks you said. Of course, here we've got the added dimension of output of that information so that a blind person can confirm that their dictation is being received correctly.
Absolutely. The first challenge is actually to get the thing trained in the first place. It's to read the chunk of text that you have to in order for a voice profile, as it's called, to be developed and created. So that's the first challenge. And the Jawbone interface gives a visually impaired person the possibility of doing that themselves. So by basically pressing a key on the keyboard, you're able to listen to the next chunk of six or seven words that the system wants you to speak at it, and do that independently if you want to. For some people, that's a very practical thing to do. For other people, it isn't, especially if they're not accomplished speech output users. So, yeah, that's the first challenge. Then, as you correctly say, the second challenge is all about this issue of making sure that what's actually been understood is what you wanted to be understood. And I think that presents two issues. First of all, it presents the issue of having JAWS or your screen reader, whatever it may be, effectively echoing back to you your dictation when you stop. And then the second issue is the issue of review. It's making sure and being very careful that the thing's not going to misspell, but what it might do is miscontextualize. So yes, that review process, once you've actually done the dictation, is so, so crucial. And if it gets something wrong, the crucial component of having it get it right next time is the issue of correction. So if it misunderstands something that you've said, whether it's contextual misunderstanding or whether it's just simply a blatant misunderstanding because it thought you said SH when really you said TH, Dragon, naturally speaking, offers you a facility where you can launch what's called the correction dialog box, where you can choose from a possible list of options that the software thinks the word might have been. Or if that isn't in the list, then you can spell it. And Jawbone, which is a bit of software that links together Dragon, naturally speaking, which is a speech input tool, and JAWS for Windows, the speech output tool, gives you an interface to that very visual environment so that you can regularly and easily and effectively develop your voice profile.
So it's essentially a set of scripts for JAWS, is it?
It's a little bit more complicated than that. It consists of three different things, does Jawbone. First of all, it consists of an application program interface, an API, as techies call it. I learned what that meant the other week as well. I've been saying it for years, and I learned what it meant. So it consists of an application interface program that essentially manages all of the resources of the computer to make sure that the two primary programs, i.e. JAWS and Dragon, don't have fisticuffs with each other about what they want to do and when they want to do it. So if that application program interface wasn't there, it would make the structuring of the interface and the resource management of the computer quite a complicated thing and potentially unstable. So that's the first part of it. Part number two is, as you correctly say, a series of JAWS scripts linked in with a series of Dragon scripts. So there's two types of scripts going on. And basically those scripts, the two program scripts interacting with each other, give the user a speech input-output interface, which is completely workable. And then the third component of the Jawbone interface is a lexicon of commands which represent all of the screen reading functionality which, as a JAWS user, you would have from the keyboard as voice-based commands. And Brian will demonstrate this to you in the presentation which we have for you to listen to after we've concluded this interview. But basically, you can say things like next line, you can say previous line, you can say next word, you can say previous word, you can say document, all of which are essentially JAWS commands, but represented as voice-based screen reading commands.
Could you use Dragon, naturally speaking, without these scripts? If, for example, you had a Braille display so that you could track in Braille what you were saying, could you do that, or must you have these?
It depends on what you want to do it for. If you're somebody who simply wants to use voice input as a productivity tool, you would still need scripts, you would still need resource management, but you may not necessarily need the Jawbone interface. The Jawbone interface isn't right for everybody. But where it really is right and appropriate, and where I don't think there is a choice about it, is for people who need to do far more than just dictate. So, for example, if they need complete computer control and speech output of that control, so they want to start programs, they want to move text around within an application, they want to do everything with their voice that we would do with the keyboard, then I think when you're placing those sorts of demands on the interface, then yes, you really do need Jawbone. But certainly for people who require something less complex than that, we in the UK, TNT Consultancy, are very much about trying to give people a choice, not saying, okay, Jawbone is the only way you can do it, but instead saying, well, okay, if you don't need that advanced level of functionality that Jawbone can offer you, and indeed, if you don't want to use JAWS, perhaps, then maybe there are alternatives which exist that will do for you what you want to do, providing you're very clear in defining that in the first place.
So someone like me, for instance, might be able to dictate a memo with Microsoft Word open and then put Naturally Speaking into the background and just review the Word document using my regular keyboard commands with JAWS.
Absolutely right. And one of the most crucial things about developing the right approach is about looking at the different input and output tools available to an individual and saying, okay, so you want to use voice input for this, you want to use the keyboard for that, and indeed for people who've got some vision, and you want to use large text for that. So it's not a case of once Dragon Naturally Speaking is running, you can do nothing else and you can have no other control. It's instead about finding the right relationship between the different methods of input and output that an individual has open to them to give them an interface which works for them.
There's at least one major competitor to Naturally Speaking. Is there any particular reason why you're sticking with them?
Because basically there's no other program, no other voice input program that lends itself to providing a properly structured interface for a visually impaired person to use. We've done a lot of testing with programs like IBM BioVoice, and the structuring of those screens is such that it makes it almost impossible to provide a flexible, structured, reliable interface where screen monitoring can be provided in a sensible, structured, meaningful way. So I think there are really two reasons why we stick, and not just us in the UK, but why NGT Voice in America opted for Dragon when they built the Jawbone interface. It's because of that, and it's also because of the fact that the recognition is just so good. I mean, once the users develop the good voice profile, they're going to be getting 97-98% recognition. And, you know, I'm a reasonable typist, but I can certainly dictate more accurately than I can type.
That's fascinating. Brian Hartchin, you are pretty new to this, I guess. You've started looking at this from the perspective of learning it to prepare the tutorial. Would that be right? You weren't a user of this in the past?
No, I wasn't. And it's thanks to TNT Consultancy that this tutorial has actually got off the ground, which is just about complete now. But I've only been using it for, less than 2 months.
Right, so you're pretty fresh. What's the verdict? Yeah. Is it worth the bother?
It is. I really have found myself dictating more than I'm actually typing. Now, I'm a very fast typist. I can type in excess of 80 words a minute with complete accuracy. But obviously, as Terry has already said, as visually impaired people, we're much more used to talking, and I can talk faster than that. And now that I've created a good voice profile within my copy of Naturally Speaking, I can do that with a good level of confidence. As you'll hear within the demonstration, it's important, certainly initially, while you're correcting material in the first instance, when you install Naturally Speaking, to not let the thing run away with you. You've got to exercise a good level of control, and that means perhaps dictating a small chunk of text first, letting Jawbone verify that information for you, and then assuming it's right and you don't have to make any corrections, continue to the next chunk of text. When you become more proficient at using it, and when you find that your level of accuracy is improving, then is perhaps the time to speed up a little bit if you really want to do that. So I think it is, and I wouldn't just be saying that it was worth the bother, because it is quite a financial outlay that one has to go through. So I wouldn't be saying it unless I thought it was worth it.
Okay, so how naturally can you talk once you've got it up and running? For example, would you be able to say all that you've just said in the way that you've just said it and have that all written down in Microsoft Word with a reasonable degree of accuracy once you'd had it trained?
I think you probably would. We'll perhaps need to talk to Terry in a moment about the precise measurement of speed that one can dictate, but essentially once it is all set up properly, you ought to be able to dictate text, providing you're not too worried about correcting material at the initial stages if you want to go back and review it later and correct.
That's one of the that's one of the really nice things that you can do with Jawbone. I think once you've actually, when you start using it, clearly it's important to develop a style of dictation which enables you to be in control of what the thing is actually recognizing. And so when we train people, Jonathan, initially we say to them, okay, let's structure your dictation a bit just until you get a feel for the product and until you get a decent quality voice profile. And so the first thing we say is, all right, let's get a system whereby we're breaking our sentences up into logical components. So we dictate to the comma, we stop, we listen to what's been recognized, then we continue and dictate to the full stop. Now, that's a good way of structuring your dictation. It's also a good way about learning how to intonate, because clearly, as well as dictating text, you're also sometimes issuing commands. And it's important that you have the right level of controlled enunciation so that the system stands a chance of understanding what's a command and what's text. But I think once you've actually developed a reasonable voice profile, there's then absolutely no reason at all why you can't use the command Jawbone Word Echo, which stops the thing from echoing every time you stop talking, and literally dictate as I'm talking to you now. That's how sighted people use it all the time, and that's why it's called Dragon Naturally Speaking. The forerunner to Naturally Speaking was a product called Dragon Dictate, and with Dragon Dictate, you really did have to dictate in a very kind of stilted way. But the whole concept of this product is that you can use natural speech with natural intonation as I'm speaking to you now. So I think the answer to the question is that it would be foolish to say that right from the outset you can dictate in a fluent speech pattern as I'm talking to you now. But once you've actually, A, become acquainted with the product and how it works, and B, develop the sensible voice profile of a reasonable level of accuracy, then yes, indeed, you certainly can natter away. They claim up 200 words a minute quite naturally and get you know, very, very respectable levels of accuracy.
I think the phrase naturally speaking is very important, isn't it, Terry? Mm. Because we can actually, as well as dictate fluently and naturally, issue what are called natural language commands.
Yeah, they're so important because, and I think this is one of the reasons why the product is so slick and so good. You can simply emulate key presses if you want to. You can use the command press followed by whatever key you want. So if you're an accomplished keyboard user and you come to using this later, then that's fine. You can do it that way. But as Brian said, you can also use these things called natural language commands. So you can say, for example, move this paragraph to the top of the document. Or you can say, insert table with 2 columns and 5 rows. And it just goes ahead and does it.
Yeah, well, when you've got a major complex word processor with all sorts of commands of all kinds of menus, that can be an advantage for anybody, I'm sure. Will we ever get to the point where you won't need voice profiling anymore? Because every so often I see messages on email lists where people want a piece of technology that will allow them to automatically create transcripts of radio programs or speeches or whatever, and clearly we're not quite there yet.
The technology certainly is moving that way, and I think that's a slightly different type of technology utilising similar technical infrastructure. We're not there yet. We're still at the situation at the moment where you have to have a recognition profile so that you can use it. But certainly, I mean, if I look, I've been involved with this technology for, I guess, 4 years. And if I look at how the technology's changed over 3 versions of this product, it's absolutely astounding. And yes, I think that it's not going to be too far off, that an actual personal profile really won't be necessary.
So how much would it set me back to get up and running with Dragon Naturally Speaking and Jawbone, and what sort of computer do I need?
Okay, let's talk about that, and then if you'll allow me to, let me talk about the kind of choices that we're trying to give people, because as you'll see, as I explain, it's not cheap. I'm going to use UK pounds.
Yep.
That's what I understand.
Good.
So you'll have to get your currency converters going in your heads here. In the UK, we are currently selling Dragon Naturally Speaking Professional, and it's important that it is professional because that's what Jawbone works with. We in the UK are selling that for just over £400. Now, there is a cheaper version of Dragon Naturally Speaking called Naturally Speaking Preferred, and I'll come in a second to talk about what we're trying to do to offer people a solution with that. So you have the naturally speaking professional speech input engine at around £400. Then you have Jaws for Windows, and I guess people listening around the world will know how much their retailers are charging them for Jaws for Windows. As the people may know, it's a tiered price structure depending on what operating system you're using. Here in the UK, the non-professional version of Jaws is £650, and the professional version working with any Windows operating system is £890. And then there's a Jawbone interface, and again, here in the UK, that is, again, a little just under £400. So it's quite an outlay, and that's the reason why we say to people that it's not the right solution for everybody. Here in the UK, we have a policy whereby we'll visit people free of charge and demonstrate this technology to them and let them try it for themselves, because it is quite an outlay, and for some people it just doesn't work. The way to find out about how much Jawbone will cost people in other countries is to visit the website of the people who actually create Jawbone, who actually write Jawbone. They're a company called NGT Voice. Their website is the standard three W's and then ngtvoice.com. And then there are links to Jawbone and also links to suppliers all over the world who are selling it. So that's how to find out how much it will cost you. Now then, in terms of computer specification, this is one of the really crucial things, because having the right amount of memory and the right speed processor is all about how well the speech input-output interface will function and how spontaneously and quickly it will work. Jawbone works, the interface is working on any Windows operating system, post-Windows, included from Windows 95 onwards. I would suggest avoid Windows Millennium if you can, because there are all kinds of accessibility issues with that, not anything to do with Jaws and Jawbone. And the computer, I would suggest a minimum these days of a Pentium 4 1.7 gigahertz, and it's crucial to have an absolute minimum of 256 megabytes of RAM. And it's also important that you use a multi-channel full duplex sound card, because obviously the sound card's having a lot of demands made on it, because we're expecting it to take speech input and simultaneously deliver speech output. So it's absolutely crucial that the sound card is of a full duplex multi-channel specification.
Not for the faint of heart.
It's important perhaps to stress as well that we're using Jaws 4.02.
Indeed, I should have mentioned that. We're currently not in a position to work with 4.05. NGT Voice in the States are working hard to give a Jaws 4.5 interface. We're currently working on Jaws 4.02. Jaws 4.5 offers things that 4.2 doesn't, but in fact, the 4.2 interface with Jawbone is a very stable, very sound interface, which I'm sure Brian, from an unbiased user perspective, will agree.
Oh, absolutely, it is, and it's important to say that you can replicate just about everything that you can do with Jaws from the keyboard. You can replicate those commands by voice.
Alrighty, let's have a look at the tutorial then, Brian. Have you come up with a groovy name for it? Because you always come up with groovy names for them.
I like his name, actually.
No, it's
good name for it.
It's just called Talking Sense.
Very good. Talking Sense. And that is coming out when?
Well, I hope it will be in February time, it should be. And it'll be approximately 6 hours in length, so it'll be the usual four cassettes or one CD-ROM tutorial.
Can you give us a quick squiz at what will be covered in that tutorial?
Certainly can, yeah, because all the recording's finished. We're just going through the long trawl of editing at the moment. We begin with a chapter which really does discuss the whole concept of voice input, voice output solutions for visually impaired people. That chapter is actually on my website already, so people can actually download that to get a lot more information about it. Then we talk about installation of the three the three products, and particularly some of the Windows recommended settings and the JAWS and recommended settings as well, in order that this whole thing works properly. Then we talk about the training process as well. Terry mentioned how one goes about that. You simply press a key on the computer keyboard. You hear Jawbone echo a certain number of words, and then you can repeat that back. We demonstrate how that works. And then I talk about customization of naturally speaking itself, because that's very important that that's quite precise. Then we talk about the actual dictating of your first document, verifying the microphone status, because it's important to know whether it's actually listening to you or not. There's no point in dictating anything if it's not actually in the wake-up status. And then I talk about navigating around the document itself. Saving files, retrieving files is the next topic, because I did find it a little bit difficult at aiming this tutorial at a specific target audience. Are we talking about new users here, new users to Windows, that is, or are we aiming it at a client group who already have experience of Windows and the use of JAWS itself, and who are using this as a means of convenience, if you like. So I've tried to carefully balance it between the two, obviously recommending that people perhaps study some in-depth Windows guides initially. But I do talk then about dialog boxes and the different components of those, because obviously that's quite important, and how you would navigate around a dialog box. Then we get to the real good stuff. Microsoft Word to begin with. So we talk about changing font characteristics and style and size and so on, text alignment, how you dictate various things like postcodes, dates, numbers, punctuation and hyphenated and compound words, bit of find and replace, how you dictate capitalized words, how you move between one document and another, creating bulleted lists and navigating tables, all those kinds of things are in the Word chapter. Then we go on to Microsoft Outlook. That is the email client with which we seem to gain most reliable results. So we're using Outlook. So we talk about all the usual things like sending and receiving mail, moving through the index of messages, also navigating the address book as well and replying to messages. Internet Explorer provides you with a whole lot of control through Naturally Speaking and Jawbone. So I spend a bit of time talking about the structure of a web page and how it's laid out in case people aren't sure. Methods of entering web addresses, moving through the various pages, searching for a topic using a search engine. We actually use Google for that. Then we do a bit of online shopping as well, using voice recognition. We actually pay for a product that I didn't mean to get at all. anyway, we do that and then navigate the favorites and history list. The next chapter is called Automating Your Work, and this is very important because it's something we haven't touched on yet in the interview, and that is that as well as navigating around the Windows operating system and dictating text, you can actually use Naturally Speaking to carry out routine commands or routine tasks. For example, if you regularly use center your address at the top of the letter and put your telephone number and website underneath, and then you go back to the left margin, for example, and put the date, you can actually put all that in as a command, putting it in simplistic terms, to Naturally Speaking, so that when you actually dictate a phrase, for example, business address, it will format that address correctly for you and embed it into your Word document.
Right, so it's a kind of macro arrangement.
Yeah. Well, you can actually use macros as well. Naturally Speaking has a macro recorder. But this is much easier to use than that. You don't need to have any specific knowledge of macro creation.
That's the great thing about it. It's
it's totally natural to do. Once you understand the methodology, you just use the right words, and it just goes off and does it. And so you don't have to be a macro programming expert. It's just something that you can do, again, using natural speech, using a natural speech-based formula. And
so
the point of demonstrating that in the tutorial is to basically say to people, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you don't have to be a programming whiz. You can do this yourself perfectly easily if you just follow these simple steps.
Theoretically, you ought to be able to say, you ought to be able to be sitting on your desktop and say, create message to Jonathan Mosen. It should launch Outlook and then create a new message with your email address filled in, and you should be in the subject field. That's a typical example of how it can be used. So we talk about that a lot, because that's very important. And finally, we really talk about improving accuracy, because as well as the initial training that you have to go through, that isn't really the end of the story if you want to continue to maintain accuracy and to improve your level of accuracy as well. So there are all sorts of tools within Naturally Speaking to work through so that you can actually regularly improve the level of accuracy.
It's also important to say that the focus of this tutorial is not to replace the need for training.
No.
In chapter one, it's emphasized that, you know, ideally, and again, appreciating that, again, it's all about this issue of cost, and I think Brian and I, both as visually impaired people, are very sensitive to that. But again, the point is made that ideally you should have some initial training and perhaps initial help in setting the thing up and in getting the thing working properly in the first place. So although the tutorial is very detailed and as you would expect, very, very well laid out and very, very well exemplified, we're not saying here that it absolutely eradicates the need for training. What I think we are saying is that it will either reduce the need for training, so in other words, the number of days you might actually have to buy might actually be reduced if you have the training, or if it doesn't take away or reduce the need for training, should I say, what it will mean is that it gives you the possibility to further advance your knowledge of the use of the product as time progresses.
And it's important to say as well that training obviously should be delivered by, and I really do mean this, by experts in the field who really do know how this whole interface works together.
Absolutely. It's absolutely crucial. And I would suggest that that's not the same as getting somebody who understands how a sighted person would use Dragon Naturally Speaking. It's about getting somebody who understands the interface. And again, the NGT Voice website is a good place to start there because, again, they have a list of authorized distributors. So, as I say, that's a good starting point. But, yes, this whole tutorial is centered around the Jawbone interface. And, again, it should be stressed that much of the functionality that Brian demonstrates and talks about and shows people how to take advantage of is functionality that's inbuilt to this Jawbone interface. And it's functionality that if you simply ran the two programs together with a few scripts, you just would not be able to take advantage of.
Can you download demos of Naturally Speaking and Jawbone?
No. At the moment, we're not in a position where you can download demos. One of the main reasons for that is because Scansoft, who are the people now who manufacture Naturally Speaking, their perspective very much is that the complexity of the product is such that if somebody simply downloaded a demo of it and put it on their computer, if they didn't understand the concept of what they were doing and what they were playing with, it may actually end up getting the product more of a bad reputation. The Jawbone interface is such, again, that if we simply sent demo discs out to people, or if we simply allowed people to download a time evaluation demo from a website, it makes a lot of assumptions that they understand about the interface, they understand all the stuff that we spent the last 30 minutes explaining. And that's not a safe assumption. So I think the perspective about downloadable demos is that we would be very concerned that because of the complexity of the interface and the level of understanding that one needs to have to take advantage of it, it may end up causing more problems than helping people. So instead, the approach that we would recommend and NGT Voice would recommend would be to contact a dual band dealer, talk about your needs. Many of us around the world will actually come out and demonstrate the product. We'll train the system up so that they can, the end user can have a play with it and have a try of it, and then make a factually based decision about whether the interface is proper and correct for you.
And Brian, are you anticipating selling this tutorial, or will it mainly be bundled or an additional add-on to the Jawbone interface package?
No, it will be separately sold, so that those people who already have Jawbone can take advantage of it, perhaps for reference or perhaps for exploring one or two things that they perhaps didn't know before. But because I have a network of dealers, particularly in the US and UK now, which is really good, and that's something that's happened in the last year, they too can obviously sell the tutorial as well. So no, it's going to be a completely separate entity.
I think the main, we talked about this an awful lot in terms of how to position it in the UK. And I think very much working together on this, our feeling is that we want as many people as possible to have exposure to the tutorial, as we want as many people as possible to have exposure to the technology. But if it was bundled together in the UK, we couldn't necessarily guarantee that other dealers around the world would want to produce that bundle. And so that was another reason for going for the separate component approach, so that essentially people would have flexibility, they'd be able to make a choice, you wouldn't have to put the price up to encompass the tutorial if they didn't want it. But as Brian says, so that also people who already have the product aren't being penalised because everybody's having to pay the same price for the tutorial, whether they do or don't already have the interface software.
Can we talk then, Terry, about the other options that perhaps are less expensive than the Jawbone interface, perhaps for people who want to use the Dragon Naturally Speaking just to dictate and review, maybe, who don't need the full command or control over Jaws?
Absolutely. Well, up until now, or certainly up until the last 3 months, I would suggest that there really hasn't been any other choice. People have had to pay this large amount of money, sometimes to achieve just, you know, as you rightly say, a fairly basic level of voice input functionality. One of the exciting developments that's happening at the moment is a development centred around the WindowEye screen reader. There are currently some scripts available that give some fairly basic functionality of Dragon Naturally Speaking, preferred or professional, with WindowEye. My experience is that this interface, WindowEye-based interface, works more effectively with the professional product. They're doing it in a different way. They're doing it predominantly through Dragon scripts, and the scripting engine is only really available with the Naturally Speaking professional product. Now, we don't have any, at the moment, real input to that. That's just a development that we're involved in testing, and we'd like to be able to offer people in the UK. But certainly, if people want to find out more about that, if they contact GW Micro or indeed their WindowEye dealer or wherever they may be in the world, then certainly those scripts are available. And what's good about it is they're available free of charge. So if they don't want to shell out a lot of money and simply want to try it, then it might just be a case of buying either preferred or professional Naturally Speaking and then trying out the free scripts. But going back to Jaws, we do recognize that there are a great many people out there who really don't need this advanced level of functionality and who are quite happy to use their voice as a method of text creation, but would be able to use the keyboard to do screen monitoring and things like that. And predominantly, Brian, in cahoots with my company, are involved at the moment in developing some scripts that will hopefully allow people to do just that. Now, at the moment, this new interface is very much in its embryonic stages, and there's going to be some way to go before we say it's available and we release it. One of the things that, as a company, we believe very much in is not getting too excited about something and unleashing it until it's been thoroughly tested. But certainly, Brian, these scripts that we're looking at, which won't be free, there'll be a cost involved, although nothing like the cost involved with Jawbone, these scripts will certainly give people the ability to dictate, won't they?
They certainly will, yeah. As Terry said, the project is very much in its infancy at the moment. But at the moment, we do have the ability, for example, to monitor the screen content so that when you dictate something, a short phrase, for example, it will be echoed back to you. We can get JAWS to read out the contents of the correction dialog box. We can verify the microphone status and that kind of thing. So we're talking about a very basic level of functionality, but it does mean that people who purely want to dictate but have the keyboarding skills to be able to move around the Windows operating system or to verify the text will be able to do so.
And will that work with the preferred version as well as the professional?
Yes, it will. Yes. Yes, it will. This is what's so exciting about it, Jonathan, that this is being done purely through JAWS script. You recall much earlier on in this interview I described the three-pronged approach of the Jawbone interface, and that's why the professional program is so important. But no, this interface is a JAWS script-based interface, which does mean that we'll be able to offer the interface to be functional with the preferred version of Naturally Speaking, which is about half the price of the professional version. So, just to be clear, we're not saying it's an all-singing, all-dancing interface. We're not saying it's a cheaper version of Jawbone but with a different flavour. We're not saying that at all. We're saying this is a product which is great for people who want to use their voice for text creation, but they must have a reasonable degree of keyboard ability in order for the interface to work for them. But again, it's about giving people choices, and it's about saying to people, okay, if you need the advanced control, then yes, the Jawbone interface is there. But if you want to just create text, then, you know, this is another option available to you. So it's just about giving people flexibility, giving people choices. It's about widening the marketplace from just being one product to being a number of products so that people can find the right interface to suit them in terms of their usability in their pocket.
Any idea at this stage, Brian, when you'll have those available?
No idea whatsoever at the moment. It will be a few months because, as Terry said, we need to create it properly first and then it needs to be tested. I really don't like releasing things until there's a good certainty that it's going to work. One reason for that is obviously because of the possible number of tech support queries that we'll
Absolutely.
Receive.
Yeah, yeah. It's crucial that together we're able to offer in the UK, sensible technical support. One of the crucial things about the way my company works is that we're a service-based company. And, you know, a product has got to be good. A product has got to be stable. A product has got to be not falling over every half an hour or whatever. So we want to make sure the product is stable, and we also want to make sure that we're able to offer a sensible level of technical support before it's unveiled. But maybe what we could do, Jonathan, is when we are in a position to say the product's up and running, maybe we can come back and have a chat about it and do a demonstration of this script-based product for you.
Fine, sounds good. Well, we will go into the demo that Brian has prepared to show us how this works in practice, and I appreciate you both coming on the show.
It's been a great
pleasure.
Well,
it's most kind of you. Thank you very much for inviting us onto Main Menu.